If you're not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you go do that. Help us hit 60,000 subscribers as quickly as possible. Throw a party or pizza. We'll throw a pizza party in your honor when you help us get there. I'm just going to cut that part.
You're going to cut the pizza party part. So, Kevin, our global stats finally paid off.
They paid off. I didn't know this was a money-making venture.
Well, it's not paid off in cash. It's still net negative. But at least they've gotten some traction. We hit two milestones when we updated our latest global stats page, and our grand scheme is like finally come together.
Okay. Tell me that. Remind me of the grand scheme again.
Okay. The grand scheme was, I think one of the things that was always interesting to us was there's always this podcast data that was like floating around in the world, and it often didn't jive with the numbers that we had at Buzzsprout. And so we said, well, let's just publish our own data and, see what people think of it. We'll show what we see on Buzzsprout, and it will help journalists. It'll help the industry. It'll help our own podcasters kind of get some info. And we kind of hit some milestones, and I feel like now people are talking about it and noticing it, and it's kind of gotten some interesting conversations started.
Yeah, I think you're talking specifically about Spotify jumping Apple, right?
Yeah, so we hit two big milestones. Spotify crossed Apple, but then we also hit 100,000 active podcasts on Buzzsprout, which if you told us 5 years ago that would ever happen, we would have laughed. I don't think we ever thought that was even a possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the big one is, yeah, Spotify passed Apple.
Right, which is surprising. It's concerning, right? Because we're on a show right now that doesn't push to Spotify. So like, how big of an audience are we missing out on?
Apparently as big as our Apple podcast or something like it.
Yeah. Close to half. Our downloads are probably half what they could be if we were publishing to Spotify. Now, I don't know how true that is. I think it depends a lot on the type of show that you do. So we know that Spotify's demographics overall sort of trend a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what the demographics for this show are, but I imagine that there's probably not a ton of 18 to 24 year olds that are listening to a bunch of old guys talk about podcasting. Hope we pass some good tips.
Old.
I know Travis is the young one of the group.
Speak for yourself.
We're, all right, we're I've getting got more older, than you Travis. We were you were 2 years younger when you started this podcast.
That is true. That is true.
Well, I think we publish these numbers, so we don't hide anything. We try to be as transparent as possible. And there's been some people who were in the podcasting industry, other podcast hosts, journalists, who were saying like, this is different than what other hosts are reporting, what we're seeing in our numbers. And there's a couple different explanations, right? One, Buzzsprout, we've got our numbers totally wrong, right? Like our mistake.
Whoa, cut that. Don't put that in there.
I mean, it's a possibility. I don't think that's
true.
It's definitely a possibility. Another possibility is that the shows that happen to be using Buzzsprout as their podcasting platform are skewing more towards whatever type of people use Spotify. So again, I don't know exactly what that demo looks like, except that I think it skews a little bit younger. And so our shows just could be more attractive to people on those platforms. It's possible that people on our platform are more interested in Spotify and like promoting that as a place to listen to their podcast. Right. So whatever marketing efforts that they're doing, they're pushing more people towards Spotify than other third-party apps or Apple Podcasts. And then the last one, which is I think it could be a combination of a couple of these, like our audience, our type of shows. And I think it's very possible that the way that other podcast hosts have been tracking numbers for a long time are attributing a lot more plays to Apple Podcasts than we believe is the most accurate way to attribute plays towards Apple Podcasts. So as we've talked about on the show many times in the past, we changed that number back in, what was October, November. We stopped counting apps that were using an Apple API called Apple Core Media. They were using that, but they weren't crystal clear that they were Apple Podcasts. Those used to be counted as Apple Podcast plays. They are no longer counted as Apple Podcast plays. And I believe other hosts in the space are still attributing those types of plays to Apple Podcasts. which would significantly skew your numbers. It's somewhere between 15 and 20%. Right. So if our numbers were 15 to 20% higher on the Apple side, then Spotify would still have a long way to go before they caught up. But we made that change because we feel like it's more accurate. I don't think others in the space have made that change.
Yeah. Can we go through each of your possibilities? Because I mean, this is a big deal. If Spotify actually passes Apple, we should talk about those implications. But yeah, can we just go through those four reasons why it may have happened one by one?
Sure.
All right. So number one, why do we think that the Buzzsprout numbers are not wrong? Why? I mean, that's the easiest explanation.
What's
first.
The better way to say it? Why do we think that they're right?
Well, they're IAB certified. So yeah,
we did go through IAB certification. This is the way that we run our company is that there's three founders, but myself, but I run more like front end stuff. Tom, who's been on the show many times, he's our technical co-founder. So he runs all the technical stuff. He's the one that actually did the IAB certification process. He leads all the technical development and our stats and everything that makes Buzzsprout run. And he's also very much involved in the podcasting space in general. So he goes on podcasts a lot, knows everything about it. And I think it's a little bit different than what we see in some other companies. I'm not speaking for all companies, but some other companies in the hosting space, they have technical teams and they kind of run in the background, but they're like programmers, they're not necessarily podcasters, and they have more forward facing, like public facing figures who are more into podcasting and understand podcasting, but they're different people. One of the things that's unique about Buzzsprout is that we have Tom in this role who does both. Like he understands the front end, he understands the back end, he understands the code, he understands IAB certification, he understands, he speaks with, you know, journalists all the time. Like he's in the whole thing and he's actually a really good coder at the same time. So I think that puts us in a pretty unique position to be able to provide a high level of assurance when we say there's somebody who's really in this, who really understands it, who lives it on all sides, is in charge of our stats package. I feel very confident in that we're in a good position there. Not saying that there's not other companies that have something very similar. I do know of a couple.
Yeah.
And then I know of a couple that are very different. And a couple of the bigger ones are very different, that they have, you know, more public facing people, and then they have either contractors or technical teams that are more separate.
So one, we feel good because Tom's the one who has been working on, I mean, we have the same person who's been working on this for 12 years and is the person who built all these reports and is helping make these determinations, obviously with his full team. And understands the podcasting space. So it's not just like, oh, he's coming in, he's trying to interpret data that's set up years, you know, by somebody else. Tom worked with Spotify in figuring out how to do pass-through. And so when he did that, he understood that spec, so he knows how to track those plays correctly. He worked with the IAB team to get Buzzsprout certified. And when we did that, he had done all of the work they wanted years prior to comply with their standard well before we ever saw certification, that we didn't change anything.
Right.
And it was just a rubber stamp.
That's right. There's very little hearsay that happens on the Buzzsprout side. So it's not like it's the three of us talking about what we're seeing in our stats. And then a question comes up and we've got to go talk to a programmer, then come back and say, well, the programmers are telling us this. Like we are, the way that we run our company is that the people who you see and hear and write blog posts and see in videos, those are the people doing the work. The people who show up at the conferences are the people doing the work. There's not a lot of tech team behind stuff. Like one of Alvin's favorite things to do at conferences, when somebody comes up and says, hey, I love this feature, I do this all the time, he'll say, oh, well, here's Dave. He's the guy who designed it. And here's John. He's the guy who programmed it. And here's Tom. He's, you know, set up all the servers to make that happen. And so it's not, there's no passing the buck around. The people who are talking about the work and are bringing the news forward and sharing it with the world are the people who are also writing the code and creating the interfaces and everything else.
Yeah. So we feel good that we are accurately reporting what plays we are getting. Now, this one feels very obvious to me that this is at least somewhat the case, is that different hosts have different distributions. You know, we all cater to slightly different audiences. I would imagine that Anchor, for example, especially because of their relationship with Spotify, would be heavily favoring Spotify plays. They also have a lot of newer podcasts and podcasts that may not be as well established. So much more likely that they would be heavy Spotify. Any host like maybe Spreaker, who has their app translated to Spanish, probably has a lot more Spanish-speaking podcasts. And all the data that we've seen over time is that Spotify has done a really good job of getting into Latin America in particular for a lot of Spanish-speaking countries and helping people get into podcasting. So I could see Spreaker being Spotify heavy and maybe a host like Libsyn that has been around since 2004 might be much more weighted towards older podcasts and podcasts that grew up when iTunes was really the only directory. So I could see how we all are skewed differently, and I would totally expect it. So I'm sure that's a piece. What kind of blows my mind is when I had a little Facebook exchange with Todd Cochran from Blueberry, and he was seeming to say he's never seen Spotify even 8 or 9%. So hopefully he will share some of their numbers at some point so we can kind of compare them. But, you know, hearing that, I'm like, wow, that's really different. I mean, Spotify passed that in like a year or two of being out in the wild. They passed that very quickly for Buzzsprout. And it's kind of surprising for me to hear a host like Blueberry, they're still only 8 or 9%.
Right. Now you have to remember when you go to do directory submission through Buzzsprout and probably most other hosts as well, it's probably similar, is that to submit your podcast to Spotify is one click and probably about 5 minutes. Like as soon as you have all the required information, your show title, your description, your artwork, at least one episode, once you have all that basic stuff set, you click one button and then within 5 minutes, you're in Spotify. There's no big approval process. There's no, we need to validate your feed. Like that all happens on the back end. They've got a more modern system of submitting and there's no human curation, right?
Yeah.
Apple is very different. Apple, you have to have Apple ID. You have to be able to log in. You have to pass their validation system, which is intermittent at best of how well it's working on any given day. And then once you get through that, then it goes into an approval process. They have some sort of human approval process on their end. It can take anywhere from 2 or 3 days up to a couple of weeks. And so you wonder how many people who are getting started on Buzzsprout, and we've grown a lot in the last year, so there's a lot of people, but how many people have gotten just stuck somewhere in that process and have never finished it or gotten the approval or whatever. And so it could be significant. And that's a number that we could pull too, because when somebody does complete an Apple submission and they're in that directory, then we do get a notification on the back end. So we know that they're listed there. We could compare like how many shows we have total versus how many are listed in Apple Podcasts versus how many are listed in Spotify. I don't have any of those numbers available today, but it'd be interesting to look at. But I do think that could play into some of what we're seeing as well, is that we probably have a lot more podcasts that are just available in Spotify, especially newer podcasts that have launched in the last year.
Okay. This just occurred to me for the first time. So this is on the fly. One other thing was when Spotify first opened up and said, if anybody wants to get their podcast into Spotify, submit it in this manual process. It had to be given to them in like a CSV sheet. So we had to collect podcast info and give it to them. When they wanted to do that, that day I wrote a blog post about submitting a podcast to Spotify. And we had a good 3-month period where we outranked Spotify pages on how to get into Spotify. So the top two results were Buzzsprout. I'm kind of looking back at this data, and I remember that was a big growth bump for Buzzsprout, was people trying to get into Spotify and they knew we had a way to do it. I wonder if maybe that we had that period, and this is now 3 or 4 years ago, I wonder if maybe that we got a large number of people who are very early to getting into Spotify, and maybe that skews our numbers a bit as well, that we kind of rode that wave to getting a lot of podcasts that ended up succeeding in Spotify because they were very early.
Yeah.
So all that to say, there's a good reason to think we all would not be the same. If one of your favorite podcasts is This American Life, like it is for me, it's pretty common for, you know, that show grew up when iTunes was the primary directory. And so probably a lot of people were listening on iTunes, which became Apple Podcasts. So it's totally reasonable that podcast hosts that have shows like that would be more skewed towards Apple. I just think the difference we're seeing between, you know, where we see them right neck and neck almost at 30%, and some people see them as like Apple 50 and Spotify 8. That those numbers still feel like there's more to be figured out. So the third thing you said, Kevin, is all the hosts can be different. but maybe the other hosts are computing these stats differently. And you kind of got into that a little bit.
Right.
Is there any more you want to say besides they may be checking these Apple Core media plays and putting them in differently?
Well, I mean, nobody talks about it. So how do we know? Right. Yeah. Like, we talk about it because we just want to be accurate, you know, and we also don't have a lot of ego in the game. We're not going out there and like, hey, if we're getting something wrong, we want to know so that we can make it better.
Yeah.
Everyone doesn't kind of follow that same mentality and they kind of keep their numbers, you know, more closed. I don't know what the heck the deal is, but if somebody's going to come out in Facebook and post in a group and say, you know, that's strange or that doesn't like, well, explain it. Like, do you have something to say or don't you?
Have you guys ever heard of Cunningham's Law?
No. What's Cunningham's Law?
Cunningham's Law is the best way to get the right answer on the internet is to not to ask a question. It's to post the wrong answer. So you post Spotify passes Apple. And like, if you'd ever said, hey, is Spotify ahead? No one would ever listen to you. People just ignore you. But when you say Spotify just passed Apple, and then all of a sudden everyone comes out, they're like, no, you're wrong. You're an idiot. And we're like, okay, cool. So we could finally have a discussion about where it is. So maybe this is a little bit of Cunningham's Law coming into effect.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we are wrong. Like, when it comes down to the numbers that we're reporting that Apple has just been surpassed by Spotify on the Buzzsprout platform. That's not wrong. What could be wrong is that's indicative of podcasts overall, right, across all hosts. But we never made that claim. But people want to say, well, if it happened on Buzzsprout, it's probably happening everywhere. And that might not be true. But I think that'd be an interesting conversation to have. I think that other podcast hosts should look into their numbers, should look at how they're calculating Apple Podcast plays and what they're attributing as an Apple Podcast play versus what they aren't, what they're seeing in Spotify. And we should have this conversation. Like, it's not a competitive thing. It's not like, you know, no one's going to switch hosts because you're getting more plays on Spotify. Like, it's not about that. It's about like trying to figure out what's going on in the industry. I mean, personally, I don't think Spotify's a great player, but if they're doing a really good job of introducing a whole new
generation of podcasters,
yeah, they're introducing all these new people to podcasts, that's great, regardless of what I think the app is good or bad or indifferent, doesn't matter. So yeah, I think we should all keep talking about it. I know James Cridlin dropped Tom a really good email with a bunch of questions about how we're calculating stats. And so I think he's trying to put something together, but I think the conversation needs to continue. And I would hope that other podcast hosts in the space, instead of just like looking for an opportunity to take a jab at somebody, would just actually contribute to a meaningful conversation that we could all benefit from.
I think one final takeaway that I would have for this is, if you're confused by the differences, one thing you can still use this data to tell you is, how does my podcast on Buzzsprout compare to other podcasts on Buzzsprout? And you can look. And if there's any massive differences, like it looks like 0.4% of plays are on Amazon Music, but I've actually never had a single play there, it might be a good chance to go look and make sure you're submitted, you know, and check your directories page. So you can kind of look through there. And the whole goal of that page is that we're not just throwing guesses in the dark, that we think, is my podcast doing well? Well, you can go look and see. The average podcast on Buzzsprout, at least, gets, you know, 37 plays per episode or whatever the exact number is. You can see it. And then you can say, oh, I'm doing a little bit above that. That's awesome. I can be proud of my work. Or you can get an idea of, oh, I'm in the top 25%. You know, we want to be able to give you all that information so that you can get a feel for how you're doing and maybe spot some places to improve. And, you know, it's also that we can enjoy it and learn more about our shows and, you know, continuing the conversation, hearing how other people's data is different will always be interesting to hear. So I'm excited to see what James writes. It'll be nice to see what other people think.
So in recent news, Podcorn, our good friends at Podcorn, who are known for connecting independent podcasters with brands and sponsors that want to sponsor podcasts, recently announced that they have been acquired. So congrats to them. They are now part of the Odyssey, formerly known as Entercom team. Is that correct? Yes, Entercom team. So they're joining other groups like Cadence 13 and Pineapple Street Studios, and Audacity's kind of creating this little podcast tech slash creation network ecosystem.
Did you say Audacity? I think it's Odyssey, right?
Odyssey? Did I say Audacity? Yeah. It's all that PTSD from when Alvin tied me up to a chair for the how to start a podcast video.
Yeah, for anybody who didn't see that, we were promoting Audacity, and Travis was the like Hindenburg fanboy who we had to convince to talk about Audacity. You could see this coming because the co-founders, Agnes and Dave, they were also the co-founders of a different company that Google bought and became Famebit. And so, you know, it wasn't too surprising to me to hear that they had been acquired. It sounds like the group they're that they were acquired by, one of the things they're doing is they're going to get a lot more brands into the marketplace, which will be really good. The more brands, the more podcasters that are there, the better chance you have of landing a sponsorship deal. You know, and it doesn't sound like anything's going to change from our side, especially for our podcasters. You know, the timing is interesting for us. I mean, we just did that interview with Agnes Cosero, the co-founder of Podcorn, about how she recommends pitching. And then I just did an interview with Courtney Fretwell, who's a Buzzsprout podcaster, who actually has been, sounds like, pretty successful pitching and getting a lot of deals done on Podcorn. Travis, have you had a chance to listen to that while you were editing it, or when do you think the that episode will drop?
So that episode is going to drop a week from when this episode drops. So it'll be Friday, April 16th. You'll be able to watch that on our YouTube channel or listen to it here in Buzzcast. I have not yet had an opportunity to jump into that edit, but I'm sure it's full of scintillating details and wonderful hacks and tips and tricks to...
I don't know about scintillating grow details, your podcast, but I mean, it's an interesting story because, I mean, all right, I'll give you the quick synopsis. I'll give you the trailer for this episode. Courtney started a podcast called Forensic Tales. She has a degree in forensic science and was working for, you know, local court, and she was in the court system, and she keeps talking about, like, I love all these podcasts, I should start one. And then her fiance bought $1,000 podcasting course for her and was like, all right, you keep saying it, do it. And so she's like, all right, I'll do it. And she starts in January of 2020. And by July goes, this is awesome. I love it. You know, I'm doing this podcast about forensic science and it's a different crime every week. And she went full time with her podcast. So pretty bold move, I think. And now has almost been doing it for a year. It is a huge fan. But I got to talk to her a lot about monetization because she seems to be using Podcorn really well. She's also doing stuff with merch and was doing stuff with Patreon. So it's kind of built up three different income streams from her podcast and has just been growing the show. And so we talked a lot about, you know, being an independent creator, deciding when to go full time, how to monetize and make a living, and just an interesting conversation to have, because we've had these conversations with maybe some of the bigger podcasts, which sometimes they've got good information, but it's not totally applicable. If you're at a little bit, you know, you're just starting out, it's hard to hear from somebody who started 10 years ago. But Courtney now has only been podcasting for, what is it, 17 months. And so it's nice to hear from her. Here's the journey I've gone on, and a lot has changed in 17 months. And so a lot of it will be very applicable to anybody who's listening to this podcast and would get it in their feed next week.
Yeah, so it's exciting. And again, I will say, I just want to say congratulations to Podcorn. We've known them for quite a while, and I've gotten to know David pretty well, and we've got a great partnership with them. We love what they're doing. I was able to hop on the phone with David last week and just congratulate him personally and talk about, is there anything we need to know in terms of changes in the relationship between Buzzsprout or how our Buzzsprout podcasters would interact with Podcorn. None of that is changing. That's not at all what this deal was about. This is really just about expanding Podcorn's opportunity to bring more brand advertising into podcasting. And Odyssey has the ability, like the right partner for them to be able to do that. And so it's super exciting. The opportunities that you have, if you're already using Podcorn and you love it, great. Hopefully you're just going to see more. And if you've checked out Podcorn in the past and you haven't found a brand in there that you felt like would resonate well with your audience, well, keep checking, because now Odyssey is going to be doing their part of the partnership, introducing more and more brands to podcast advertising. So we should see that marketplace grow. And so I think it's super exciting. Our partnership is super strong. And we like how they approach the idea of podcast monetization, which is, it's not about tracking. It's not about programmatic ads just being dropped in randomly. It's host read. You have control. You have a relationship with the brand. You can set deals on your terms. You know, it might not be right for everybody, but we think it's right for a lot of people. And again, that's how Albin had a conversation. And so you'll hear more about that next week after this episode. But exciting stuff for Podcorn. Again, congratulations to them from the Buzzsprout team. And we hope that they're serving you well.
Yeah, we can drop a handful of links into the show notes on if you want to actually get into Podcorn and you haven't done so before. We've got now quite a bit of resources. So you could go in there and watch my interview with Agnes. You could watch this interview with Courtney next week. And we have a blog post on how to set everything up in Podcorn so that you could get, you know, land a deal. We've got lots of best practices on how to make it successful so that you can actually strike some relationships with these, you know, businesses, especially before the marketplace maybe gets a little crowded. It would be nice to start building up a bit of a reputation there before, you know, a bunch of new brands start showing up.
And we actually have a really cool podcasting Q&A episode dropping on Monday talking about how to price your sponsorships.
All right. We have officially become like a Podcorn promotion strategy. I didn't know we had that as well.
Oh, yes. We got podcasting Q&A coming out on Monday talking about how to price your sponsorships. And there's actually a clip in there from Agnes, from your Agnes interview, where she basically gives like three different levels of pricing and like how to pick the one that's right for you and giving you ballpark numbers for what to pitch.
Does any of that stuff talk about like how many downloads should you be getting roughly per episode before you even start? I mean, it's not a huge hassle to submit proposals, but at the same time, if you're not doing a certain number of downloads, is it even worth the time to submit proposals? Does anybody talk about that?
The number I keep hearing from different people is 500, that a lot of the brands are reluctant to actually start engaging unless you're getting about 500 plays per episode. But I think Courtney's experience with Forensic Tales was actually that she was able to get people at a lower number. Now, Travis will have to correct that when Travis, you have to overdub if she doesn't say that. And I'm misremembering. you have to overdub and fix it.
Well, one thing that she did say was if you have a smaller podcast, you can pitch bundles.
Ah.
So instead of doing like a per episode deal, you say, you know, for this flat rate, I'll like do a full interview with you. We'll do like an integrated brand creative on an episode and you'll get 5 host read ads for this price. And so you can kind of like increase the value of what you're offering by doing more for the brand versus just relying strictly on your CPM numbers. So
puzzles, you can always add, like I'll do social stuff. I'll do stuff like outside of your podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Good stuff. Looking forward to hearing that episode.
So I was poking around the internet earlier today, and I stumbled onto this really interesting 3D graph generator that shows all the podcasts that are connected via subscribers to yours. Have you guys ever heard of this before we started talking about it before the show? Refonic?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Refonic? Yeah, I totally knew all about this.
Kevin, I had no idea what this was until about 30 seconds before we hit record. So, Travis, why don't you tell us and tell our listeners what this does?
Okay, so Refonic, they are a service primarily targeted at brands and companies that want to find and, in their words, qualify relevant podcasts for sponsorships and like basically say, well, here's the email that's in the RSS feed if you want to get in touch with the host, all that kind of stuff. So they have like a whole business model, but they have this free tool that they created, which is essentially like a graph. It's a free graph generator that shows you what else your listeners are subscribed to. And so the link in the show notes shows you the graph for Buzzcast. So you can see all the shows that are connected to Buzzcast. So you can see that like How to Start a Podcast and Podcasting Q&A are in there. But then you'll also see like these branches, and what these represent are overlapping listeners. So it makes sense that people that listen to Buzzcast also listen to How to Start a Podcast. You can see that, you know, another one of the podcasts where we have a significant overlap is Crystal's podcast, The Profit Podcast. And then beyond that, you can even see the shows that are connected to Crystal's podcast that are also connected to Buzzsprout, but not as strongly. And so it's just fun to kind of like poke around and see what your listeners are also listening to as far as other podcasts. But it could also be really helpful if you're trying to find opportunities to collaborate with other shows and you want to know that like there's a really good chance that their listeners will come and check out your show as well. If you can see that there's a strong crossover between your audiences, you'll know that's a good fit. But then also if you're looking to get ideas for different episodes to do in the future, you can see what other shows your listeners are listening to, and that could give you some ideas about content you can create in the future to serve them better. So not sure if it's like, oh my gosh, earth-changing, best thing ever kind of tool, but it's certainly fun to play around in 3D space and see, you know, what else your listeners are listening to.
I mean, the cross-promo piece is interesting, but you know, I typed in Buzzcast first, but then I'm typing in some of my favorite shows to be like, hey, if I like this stuff, what else would I like? And, you know, I'm starting to pull up podcasts that might be interesting. So maybe, do you remember there used to be a tool for this with music? And I think it might have been called Genius. It's not the music-related app called Genius now that does lyrics. But this, it was some, maybe it's something totally different. But whatever it was like this. It was like a 3D map of connections between different bands. And I remember going and playing around in that for quite a while, finding new bands to listen to. You know, this is when you're like 17, 18, and you're really into like finding new bands to impress people.
Back when you went to MySpace to like find bands.
You know, I was listening to people's MySpace songs, trying to find new cool things to listen to. But it reminds me of that. And I think this is probably a great way to find new podcasts. Especially for podcast listeners who are like, I have a couple shows I really enjoy, yet I'm struggling to find a third or fourth show and would probably like it. Well, this might be a great way, you know, to just find new shows for yourself. And like, you're right, collaborate with the podcasts who you're connected with, because maybe 20% of your audience listens to both shows, but that probably means that the rest of your audience would be really interested. I'm looking through here and yeah, a lot of the podcasts for at least Buzzcast, people who are listening to this show are listening to a lot of other podcasts that, you know, kind of fit the same demographic. So maybe we do some cross promos with like Pod News or some of our other Buzzsprout podcasts.
Travis, I see that you can like claim your podcast on Refonic and then you get access to chart rankings, ratings, make sure that all your data has the correct metrics and keep everything up to date. You can see your ratings and reviews, social metrics. Have you done any of this? Have you ever claimed a show there?
I have never claimed a show here. Yeah, I've never claimed a show there.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. It looks a little bit similar to like what you get with Chartable or what was the other one, like Podkite or something like that.
Yeah.
But a little different, like kind of maybe more towards they're trying to put data together to attract advertisers for you than Chartable, which seems like they're kind of giving you tools to do attribution and like lure you in with like an all-in-one place to be able to kind of see where you're doing ranking wise. Anyway, something that might be interesting for podcasts to check out. I'm sure one of us will check it out before the next episode and can report back.
We should leave a link in the show notes. I'd love to hear if other people, when you look at your own podcast, are there other shows that you're connected to that you wouldn't have expected? There's some that we're connected to that are similar, but I didn't know there'd be a huge overlap, which was interesting. And maybe you'll find some podcasts that might be good for cross promotion and we're just getting to know other podcasters doing something interesting. Podcasting can feel a little bit lonely sometimes. We're just talking to a mic and hoping that people are listening. You know, it's kind of nice that to be able to talk to another podcaster and say, hey, this is here's what I'm working on. I see we have a lot of the same audience. We're working on similar shows. So it'd be great to hang out on Zoom for 30 minutes and just talk through what it's like doing what we're doing.
Yes.
I mean, I'm on a show with two other people and they don't even respond to me on here. So who knows? That's right. Maybe you'll get the silent treatment that I get.
On that note, on such a lovely high note, definitely make sure to check out that interview that Albin did with Agnes, which was here in Buzzcast. We put it in the feed in Buzzcast and you can watch on our YouTube channel. If you're not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you go do that. Help us hit 60,000 subscribers. As quickly as possible, so that way we can blaze past that and get that silver play button. Throw a party or pizza. We'll throw a pizza party in your honor when you help us get there. I'm just gonna cut that part.
You're gonna cut the pizza party part.
We need 100,000.
Now I gotta leave it in.
100,000, we get silver.
Yeah, 100,000, you get silver.
Now, even bigger than hitting these numbers in YouTube, Buzzsprout has some big milestones. Buzzcast has some pretty big milestones coming up. In 2 weeks will be our 50th Buzzcast episode.
Yes.
It'll almost be 2 full years of doing Buzzcast every other week. I don't know. Have we ever missed a week?
We missed a week when there was like a hurricane that came through, but then instead of publishing every 2 weeks, we just published that third week.
Yeah. And that was the only time we missed an episode. I think I might have missed one or two where we've had some guest hosts fill in for me. And surprisingly enough, those episodes got more downloads than others.
It is true. Every time that somebody else has been, one of us has stepped out, somebody else has been on the podcast, the numbers skyrocket. So
right.
Maybe we need to swap us out. We're actually been dragging the show down for the last 2 years.
I will say before we wrap this up, we've been recording today in Riverside.fm, and it's been a nice experience. We go back and forth between Squadcast, and I've got no complaints about Squadcast either, but for whatever reason, Travis set us up today in Riverside, and they've got a whole new UI. It looks beautiful, and it's worked seamlessly. So thank you to Riverside.
Yeah, and new iPhone app came out today. So, you know, it'd be interesting to try to record some of these interviews, record the video, and actually put them up on YouTube if Travis, you know, is game for editing video content on this as well. And seeing how those iPhone setups work, I think that's a tough thing to figure out, and it's exciting to hear that they think they've got it. And if Riverside can make a really good audio recorder or a phone recorder, we can get video and audio, man, that's going to be really, really nice for podcasters who are setting up interviews.
For sure. And to officially close out the longest close we've ever done on Buzzcast, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one. Keep podcasting.